down in Texas, I met a guy named Lewis Swan. It's kind of a cool name. He is the founder of an organization called Sight.org. And this organization was founded so that he could help people in Togo, Africa, regain their eyesight. In Togo, over 2.5 million people are affected by malnutrition that leads to early onset blindness caused by cataracts. So his group goes into these underprivileged villages that have minimal resources, and then they go in and they perform cataract surgeries, they train local doctors, teach nutrition and modern farming techniques, and most importantly, they share the good news of Jesus Christ. They go in there and share the gospel with these people. Well, since the inception of Sight.org, these volunteers and full-time workers have shared the gospel with almost 43,000 people. And they have done 6,500 surgeries for those who had no sight. And some of these people are mothers and fathers trying to care for their families. Just try to imagine caring for another person without being able to see or go to work and have limited eyesight. So just these impossible situations that they are pouring into and blessing these people. Now, the reason I share this story with you and the situation is because I want you to think about the process of physical and spiritual healing. Those people in Togo did not heal themselves. They didn't will themselves and say, okay, I'm going to get better. They didn't come up with their own home remedies. They didn't do their own eye surgeries. No, they needed someone outside of themselves, like Lewis and his group. They needed somebody with expertise and knowledge to be able to help them with their difficulties. What they also needed, though, was humility. The humility to ask for and to receive the help that was being offered to them. And the same way in their spiritual journey. Many of them did not know God's love before these volunteers came in and shared with them the good news. These volunteers came and opened the Bible and taught these people, God so loved the world, including you, that he gave his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins, to take them all away, to forgive you. And then he rose from the dead, declaring victory over death, giving salvation to anyone who believes that he is risen. And anyone who believes that message will rise again, will have eternal life. Those people would not have known that without those other people coming in to their lives. And so the truth that I want to really hone in with today and solidify in your hearts and your minds is that physical and spiritual healing, true physical and spiritual healing, cannot take place unless you get help from somebody else. Somebody who has knowledge, somebody who has insight, somebody who has God's perspective. You cannot get that healing unless you get it from somebody else. Because here's the universal truth. People need people. Would you repeat that with me? People need people. And it's crazy that you had to come to church on a hill to hear that. But it's true. Right? People need people. We see that in our everyday lives. Whether you're a full-time worker, you're a full-time student, you're retired, everything you do is based off of what somebody else does. Everything you own was built by somebody, probably not you, right? There's so many things in life that we need people to do for us and with us. And the same is true for what God says to us today. And we're going to focus in on 2 Kings chapter 6. I have it there in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. But these last few weeks in church, we've been talking about a prophet named Elisha. Elisha was an Old Testament prophet who God gave very special abilities to. He was able to perform miracles. And one of those miracles was he was able to tell the king of Israel where the king of Aram was going to be every time the king of Aram wanted to attack the Israelites. And so he would have this plan, the king would, and God would reveal it to Elisha where this was all going to happen. And then Elisha would go tell the king. And you could imagine for the king of Aram, this was very annoying. He's like, I have all these great plans. We're going to get the Israelites this time. And then they don't show up. And so his assumption was there was a traitor in his midst. Some spy was going and telling all this intel to the Israelites, and he was going to find that person. Well, he was threatening all of his cabinet members, and they're like, no, we're all in, buddy. We are Aram, you know, through and through. The guy who's the problem is this prophet over in Israel, and his name is Elisha. So the king of Aram says, find me this prophet. I want him dead. So they find him in a town called Dothan. And they surround the city with this massive army. And that's where our lesson starts today. So 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked." In 2 Kings chapter 5, we learned about a servant named Gehazi who was with Elisha. We're not sure if that's the same servant or not, and it really doesn't matter for our purposes. But what I would like you to do is pretend you're that servant. Okay, so you're the servant of Elisha, this man of God. You get to hang out with him all day long. When you walk to prophet school and walk back home from prophet school, he's telling you all about God and his wonders, and he's like, "Oh, this is amazing." And you're seeing the miracles that he's performing. And then you're even in on these conversations where he's telling the king of Israel where the king of Aram is going to be. So you assume, right, that if you're that servant, you're going to have a pretty big faith in God, that you're like, "Yeah, God is real. He does these amazing things." But then it's early morning, you're having your Starbucks, your coffee, and you're sitting out on your front porch, and you look up and you're like, "What?" You know, the sun's kind of just coming out. And you're like, "Oh my goodness, there's an army out there, like surrounded by an army." And let's modernize this for a second. Okay, so back then they had the chariots and the horses and the swords and the spears. But let's say they're modern day military. They got their rifles, their machine guns, their grenades. They're followed up with tanks and jeeps, you know, armored vehicles. Okay, and make this even more real life. Ukrainians just went through this a year and a half ago when the Russians invaded their cities, right? Unbeknownst to them, this was happening. So you wake up to this. How do you feel? Are you still that person full of faith? Or are you starting to shake in your boots? Now, obviously, none of us are surrounded by a real life army right now. But I do know that some of you, many of us, are in situations where we feel surrounded. Life is overwhelming. Maybe you're going through something you've never experienced before, and you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to respond. You're afraid. And you know, without a doubt, you, by yourself, cannot fix this impossible situation. It's not going to miraculously get better or magically go away if you just close your eyes and tell yourself, "It's not real, it's not real, it's not real." It's not going to go away if you ignore it. Something needs to be done. What is that thing, though? Well, look back down. What did that servant do when he saw the army? He cried out to his friend. He said, "Elisha, what do we do?" Right? He asked for help. And one of my encouragements to you today is that when you need help, when you're overwhelmed by fear, ask for help. And I know I'm talking to a bunch of people that have been conditioned not to ask for help. Because in our culture, our society, in our homes, we've been taught to bottle it up, to close it down, hide it away in the closet, and don't tell anybody. Why? Because we don't want anyone to think that we're imperfect or weak. Can I give you some insight? If you're a human being, you're imperfect and weak. There's no hiding it. That's who we are. That's just our reality. We are all imperfect and weak human beings. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. But when you have a bad day, it is absolutely okay. It's absolutely biblical to ask for help. So that's what that servant does. He asks his master for help, and this is Elisha's response in verse 16. He says, "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." The Bible doesn't tell us what the servant's thinking at this moment. It doesn't even record how he responds. But again, if we're playing the role of the servant, my first thought is, "Elisha, your math is horrible. Like, I thought I was bad at math. You are, I mean, it's 2 versus 2,000, buddy. Don't be afraid. There's more of us. I don't see it." Now, the servant, more than likely, he's wanting to know a logical exit strategy, right? He's in a life and death situation. He's like, "How do we get out of here? Tell me, like, is there an underground tunnel? Do we have a helicopter nearby? How do we get out of the situation?" And in some, more often than not, when we're in a bad way, that's what we want, right? We want logical information. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to say. Or just fix this for me. And sometimes there are fixes. Sometimes there are surgeons that can perform the surgery. Sometimes there are doctors that can take out the cataract so that people can see. Sometimes there are logical steps that can be taken. But when there aren't, then what? And it's in those moments where it seems like there is no way out that we need to be able to see what that servant saw. And so verse 17, it says, "And Elisha prayed, 'Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Now, here's the thing. That servant wasn't physically blind. But because of his fear, he could not see what God was doing in that situation. He couldn't muster up the ability. He couldn't say, "Okay, now I can do this. I can see God." No, he needed his friend Elisha to pray for him and pray with him. And when he did that, the Lord answered that prayer by opening his eyes, the heart of his eyes, to be able to, or the eyes of his heart, to be able to see that this entire time they had not been outnumbered, but no, God and his army had been with them. One of the reasons that we have our Better Together Sunday is because here at Faith, we know how powerful fear can be. We know how it can blind us, even the most faithful of us, from seeing what God is doing in our lives. We know that it can cause us overwhelming pressure to try to fix an unfixable situation. But we also believe that our God is bigger than our fears. We believe that our God can go beyond the natural and do the supernatural. We believe that our God responds to our prayers. And so right now, some of you feel stuck. I don't know about you as a parent, just sending kids back to school, I thought all my problems were going to be solved. Didn't happen. They came home and they were crabbier than they were all summer. I couldn't believe it. Like, what do these teachers do to my children? So you feel this pressure at home, right? You got to manage your children. Love your spouse. Some of you are full-time teachers, and God bless you. I'm not that. And you deal with what we send you every single day. And maybe you feel stuck in that situation. Some of you are in a job where you don't get along with your coworkers. You don't get along with your boss. Maybe you were just given an assignment that is way beyond your pay grade, and they want you to do it now. And that's scary. Something's overwhelming you. I'm not in your home. I don't know exactly what's going on. You want it to be fixed. You've tried to fix it, but you can't. And so I want to do for you what Elisha did for his servant. I don't want to come up with these logical ideas for you. There might be some out there, but what I'd love to do is to put this into the supernatural hands of our God. So if you would with me, I'm going to pray for you and ask all of you right now to close your eyes, to kind of experience that blindness that the servant experienced. Close your eyes, and I'm going to pray for you right now these words. Lord God of angel armies, open the eyes of the hearts of your sons and daughters. Let them have eyes of faith to believe that because you are for us, then there's nothing that can stand against us. That because you sent your son Jesus to be our ransom, that there is no sin that can enslave us. That because you are the God of heaven and earth, that there is nothing we have to fear, neither angels, nor demons, nor powers, nor political parties, neither poverty, nor death, nor the unknowns of the future, because you are our God. Lord, open the eyes of your people so that we can see your angel armies surrounding us. Amen. What do you see? You see the fiery chariots? If you do, God bless you. That'd be awesome. Now, I believe with all my heart that God is with us, that we are surrounded by these invisible armies. Absolutely. But do you see the other angels? And this is what I mean. The word angel, when we read that in the Bible, sometimes it does refer to these fiery beings, right? But the technical word for angel is this: messenger. Someone who carries a message. Look around you, please. Just look around. These are God's messengers. You're surrounded by people who can help you. They can pray for you and with you. Who can give you godly insight when you don't have it. You know, sometimes we're so stuck in ourselves that we don't see what's right in front of us. That we have this angel army from God, people who know Jesus, who love Jesus, who want to pour Jesus into our lives and remind us that, hey, the same Savior who went and suffered on the cross is with you right now, suffering by your side. He knows exactly what you're going through. And the same Savior who made it through the other side is going to help you get there as well. And you think about Jesus' situation when he was facing the armies of hell and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. What does he ask his disciples to do for him? Pray. He says, guys, would you please pray with me as I go through the hardest season of my life ever? And so what I want you to know today is that you have help right here. You have people that can pray with you, that want to listen to you, that want to pour into your situation, that give you logical insight, but also spiritual insight. That it is okay to ask for help. And I'll be honest with you, preaching this is a whole lot easier than putting it into practice. As I was writing this last night, God overwhelmed me. And he said, Dan, you need to reach out and ask for help. And God gave me the strength and the wisdom to text our elders. Pat Fouth is here, and Adam Dietrich and Dan Hoyard. Because I got a lot going on in my life. And I said, I don't need a phone call tonight, guys. I just need God's word. And you're godly men. Would you please pray for me and send me some passages? And this is no lie. This isn't some trick to make this sound cooler sermon. No, this is real. And they text me and just passage after passage, and I'm just weeping. Just the reminders that Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The reminder that God will lift me up with his righteous right hand. The reminder that the God of all comfort is comforting me, and the comfort I receive, I get to comfort you with. We need it. I need it. We need each other. And that's the cool thing about our faith community here is that we get that. And you're invited to be a part of that. Because we are truly better together. People need people. We need you. You need us. I need you. You need me. We can't do this alone. And so I truly believe we have something special here at church, at Faith. And we're not the only ones, by no means. But if this is your first time joining us, I just want to invite you to do what you're doing right now. Come back. Come back and worship with us. Come and surround yourself with people that are like-minded, that want to see God and know God. Make this a part of your normal routine. I got glasses last year. I'm 44 years old. Never had to wear them. I'm very thankful for that. But all of a sudden, I'm like, I can't read books anymore. I got my glasses. Have you ever seen me wear them? 44 years of not wearing glasses, and now they make me wear glasses. I still don't do it. But when I put them on, I see great. Right? And you might not be in that routine of going to church. You're like, yeah, you know, I just gave you a prescription, and you're like, yeah, I might do it, I might not. Don't be like me. Right? If you want to see God, be here, be in the church, be around other people that love God too, be in the Word. And here's the thing, sitting next to people is nice, right? But you don't get to know each other. And so we've created this environment where you get to sit in circles. It's called Starting Point. If you're new to Faith, this is where you jump in. This is your next step where you get to ask all your questions about God, and we go to the Bible to find the answers. You get to build community with other people that are seeking the Lord. You get to learn more about our church culture and why we do what we do. And for those of you who have gone through that already, you've had that experience, we invite you to our growth groups, which are starting this week. And we have sign-up sheets on the table right now. And this is where we get to get into each other's homes, or we meet here at church. We eat together, and we laugh together, and we cry together, and we pray together, and we grow together, hence the name growth groups, right? But the devil is going to put in all these excuses and say, it's not my thing. I'm too busy. It's, you know, whatever. But the thing is, people need what? People. And this is where people gather together. This is where we talk about the things that we can't see on our own. And this isn't just for the adults. We also have our youth group for our 5th through 8th graders. It's an awesome environment where the kids, they come, they eat, they play, they learn God's truths, and then they talk about them together so that they can grow in their knowledge of Jesus and his forgiveness and his love, and then be able to be confident to share it with other people. People need people. It's a universal truth. And we need each other so that we can see God better. Because by myself, and I use myself as an example a lot, because I know growing up, I used to have this skewed vision of pastors that they're perfect and they don't have any problems, and why should I listen to that guy? You know, he doesn't know what's going on in my life. And the reason I share my own story is so that I can share Jesus' story. To let you know, I'm a human being just like you guys. I have my ups and downs. But I have my God too, who helps me see things in different ways. And so I hope what I share today inspires you to say, I need that too, because you do need it. And maybe you're thinking, well, I need that, but I don't know where to go. And I just gave you the answers. Right here. You have the family of believers that loves you, that loves Jesus, has been loved by Jesus. And this is what community is all about. And I will preach this until he takes me home to heaven, because this is true. And this is God's word. So let's pray. God, I thank you for opening my eyes to see you so much better. Thank you for this community of believers that is such an amazing encouragement to me. And I pray we'll continue to be encouragement and encouragement to each other. Thank you for those that are new to faith this morning, that are just checking us out for the first time. Help them to continue to check us out, not just us, but you and your word. Thank you for those that are interested in Starting Point. Thank you for those that are interested in a growth group. God, bless those groups as we start this coming week, and help us to grow closer together, grow closer to you. Pour your Holy Spirit on us, God, because we can't make it through this life on our own. We all have troubles. We all have those moments where we feel surrounded. But just like the servant saw, we outnumber the world, Lord. There are more of us than there are of them. And the story is already written. We win. You came to the cross and proved that. You left the tomb empty and proved that. And for that, we are so grateful. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.